even the existing budget has not been properly utilized, properly optimal utilization of the resources, a lot of wastage, lot of not being utilized and returned. So that type of thing is there. So just increasing the health budget at this stage without empowering the whole health system to manage better health resources, more resources, will be catastrophic.
You are listening to Radio India Together, and this is Subramaniam Vincent. Radio India Together is a public affairs program featuring talks, interviews, and magazines. This edition of Radio India Together features an interview with Hanumappa Reddy Sudarshan, who is currently the chairman of the Karnataka Health Task Force. Dr. Sudarshan is best known for his work with the Soligar tribals of the Bihar Hills near Mysore, for which he won the Right Livelihood Award. The Karnataka Health Task Force was constituted by the state government in December 1999. The task force's mandate was to make recommendations to revamp the public health services in the state. The 12-member task force submitted its final report of recommendations in 2001. In what is seen to be a rare development in India, the report was not only accepted by the state government, but the government also asked the task force led by Dr. Sudarshan to oversee the implementation of these recommendations. Dr. Sudarshan is currently also a vigilance director at the Karnataka Lok Ayukta. India Together recorded this interview with Dr. Sudarshan in April 2002 at Bangalore. For more information on India Together, or to get a free copy of the transcript of this program, visit www.indiatogether.org or send an email to editors@indiatogether.org or call 550-5141 at Bangalore. In 2001, that is last year, you called for a moratorium on starting new medical colleges in Karnataka. Doesn't Karnataka actually need more doctors?
What we are saying is the proportion of, if you look at the health needs, there are two issues. One is commercialization of medical education. You want to open a college and earn, make a business out of it. Well, that's one way of looking at it. Second way is whether these medical colleges also have an accountability to the people of Karnataka, to the health of the people of Karnataka. This is the model which Israel has. Israel has, each district has a medical college. So medical college takes the responsibility of the health of that district, people of that district. So we are saying we should have your business but also have some accountability to the health of the people. So we have suggested 3 primary health centers to be run by the private medical colleges. Secondly, what we are saying, mushrooming up of medical colleges is not good. The quality standards have to be maintained. Some of the medical colleges do not have enough infrastructure, the hospital, the number of beds they need, and faculty. Most important is the faculty members. We can't overnight just you increase the colleges and faculty is not there. And some of them cheat by saying that MCI, when the MCI comes for inspection, they hire people from neighboring states, show them on the nameplates. And next day they catch the flight. So we have lack of faculty members, human resources also for running the medical college. So if we can provide good quality medical education with good infrastructure, beds and the good faculty, we have no problem. We can produce good quality doctors. But what is happening is the quality of the doctors we are producing out, some of the private colleges are very good, but some are really bad, which needs to be closed down. So we are saying, let us have good quality of medical education. And it should be need-based also. It should have some accountability to the people of Karnataka also.
In terms of equitable access for women to primary health care, where is Karnataka headed?
In the primary health care, we are talking specifically of gender-sensitive primary health care. Disaggregated data that whether women have access to all the health care system or are we discriminating. or if they are not coming, how we can, the yellow card system where women's health is given a lot of importance in amongst ACSTs. So the also women's health from a broader perspective of total, a woman being a total being, not the reproductive health alone, but from birth to death, how we can take care of the total health of the woman also has been suggested, instead of calling it just reproductive health. Women also have problem of tuberculosis, malaria and other needs, so we need to take care of that also. How to make women-friendly primary health care centers, hospitals, gender disaggregated data at various levels, including violence against women, whether we are insisting that that should be recorded now, wherever possible, all this needs to be looked at. And of course, the gender major problem is the female feticide and the infanticide issue. Feticide, with the act coming into being now, the ultrasound machines are being monitored closely to prevent the female feticide.
Are you and the health task force happy with the allocations in the Karnataka state budget for 2002?
Now, our view on the budget is, with our understanding of the budgets, is also, first point is optimum utilization of the existing budget. What we have found is even the existing budget has not been properly utilized, properly optimal utilization of the resources, lot of wastage, lot of not being utilized and returned. So that type of thing is there. So just increasing the health budget at this stage without empowering the whole health system to manage better health resources, more resources, will be catastrophic. So what we are saying is empower them, with, make the optimum utilization of the existing budgets, and then gradually increase whatever is needed as the capacity is built to handle that money. Just increasing the budget will not make the system foolproof. But we definitely, the present budget is low. It's just 5% of the total budget, which is very less, or 0.91% of the state domestic product, which is very less. So we want the budget to be increased. Service sectors should not, and even in the next five-year plan, we have the fiscal plan also that has been put. And there will be increase in the budgets, which we have recommended.
On the one hand, the health task force has recommended for increased state financing of health services for Karnataka. And on the other hand, we hear of pressures being exerted by multilateral financial institutions on governments of developing countries to reduce public expenditure through the so-called structural adjustment programs.
Now, in fact, in Karnataka, we have looked at it, and we have no pressures, in fact, to reduce the budget for the health. Even the World Bank assisted type of planning process which happened for the midterm fiscal plan for the 5 year, the budgets have been increased. There is no cut for the health budget. And we have also made suggestion very clearly in our task force recommendation that no cuts in the human resources also. Whereas other departments, whichever some of the posts are being cut on general, wherever there were excess, they are reducing. But in health, we are saying no cuts should be there because we need those human resources.
Your task force has laid almost an extraordinary emphasis on human resource development for the health bureaucracy in Karnataka. What is the government doing about these recommendations?
Human resources in terms of recruitments, first filling up of the vacancies. We had said that in the interim report, we have reiterated, and I am happy to say government is seriously already filled up quite a few vacancies of doctors, the nurses and the paramedical staff, other paramedical staff. The final order is about to be issued. Within next few months, we will have all the existing posts filled up, except the male health workers, which we are debating whether they should be filled up or not. Whatever essential staff is needed, that will be done. And we also have now the 250 hospitals run by the Karnataka Health System Development Project, where the bed strength has been increased, so we need additional staff. So that also we are getting through for additional specialist posts and the other posts needed, paramedical staff needed for the increased bed strength in these upgraded hospitals. So that also we are getting through. And this is the recruitment, new recruitment which has to be done. We also had contract doctors on appointment. Now we are saying they have to be regularized, and now there will be a regular system of taking regular doctors' appointment. And then most important is also training, empowering them in terms of induction course for primary medical officers who just joined, and then ongoing regular training for them, for the doctors and the paramedical staff. That we have a State Institute of Health and Family Welfare, how to upgrade it and how to make it a unique institution which will take care of all the training needs of the human resources.
Speaking of recruitment, how is the recruitment of doctors and other staff going along for rural Karnataka?
Problem is the chronic shortage of human resources in the backward, so-called northern districts, backward districts or whatever you want to call them. Nobody wants to go there. They want to be around in the southern districts. So what we are saying, that's why recruitments for district cadre. So that will solve the doctors. First 6 years they will be in the primary health centers, another 7 years at the taluka hospital. Then after 13 years they become state cadre. Then they can get out of the district. So 13 years they have to be in Bijapur or Gulbarga or Raichur, wherever they are recruited.
In the report that the task force submitted to the government, you have drawn a distinction between the preference for the market economy of curative medicine in the government health services and what you call sound public health. In fact, the task force seems to be concerned that the preference for this curative side of the service should not undermine the public health responsibilities of the government.
We have very clearly mentioned what are the steps to be taken. Now we are sitting in the just behind the Public Health Institute. That itself in shambles now. So we need to really create a premier public health institute. And we have the post of additional director for communicable diseases, which needs to be strengthened. A good disease surveillance system at each various levels, including a very strong district surveillance units. This together, and even the health and the corporation and other health acts have to be amended. We need to take care of them. We have suggested all of that. And government has just started thinking and trying to implement those things.
Last year, that is 2001, there was a bill to regulate private health care in the State Assembly. Where is Karnataka on this regulation?
Earlier, Nursing Home Act was more of a licensed type of Raj. So we were not very happy with that. We have given a separate, what we called Private Institutions Regulation Bill. Task force had recommended, but before that we had made a comprehensive bill for both public and private together, so that quality control is there for both, but government did not accept the combining the two same standards for that, so they wanted a separate private institutions regulation bill. So we have given this recommendation, and the old bill has been withdrawn, and now the new bill, which is the government will have only the registration type of thing, but there will be a committee which will be at the state level and the district level, which will make their own quality standards and see that the institutions maintain those standards. So that is being recommended, and hopefully it will be implemented very soon.
Why did the Karnataka government not prefer a common regulation for both government-run hospitals as well as private healthcare institutions?
Their argument is government cannot have, it's a legal type of thing, but we are not convinced though by that argument. It would have been very good if both were together. But anyway, there were some legal problems of calling it that way, so we had to finally accept that they have to be two different. But at the same time now government, we are in the Karnataka Health System Development, quality standards are being now done, ISO standards. Some of the IPP8 projects and also the Karnataka Health System Development projects have ISO standards. They are in the process of making those standards now. So we are insisting on standards. So probably public health will have its own, and private sector will have its own.
The Paura Karmika problem in Bangalore seems to be a very vexing issue. The task of cleaning cities comes with significant occupational hazards. And these are primarily health hazards. On the one hand, we hear that the Paura Karmikas employed by the Bangalore Corporation will soon get medical insurance. This is as of March 2002. But on the other hand, we also know that more than 50% of Bangalore's wards are cleaned by contracted Paura Karmikas. And these Paura Karmikas are not even paid minimum wages, let alone them having considerations of health benefits. Do you see the recommendations of the health task force actually have an impact on the benefits offered to the contracted Paura Karmikas?
We have not spoken specifically about Paurakarmikas, but you have spoken about the employees of the department itself, and we have to insurance for them has been suggested. In fact, even immunizing them for hepatitis B, which had not been done, the occupational risk they have, that we have suggested, and also some incentives for doctors staying in primary health centers, and also those who do administrative job and they can't do clinical practice, so they should be given additional incentives for doing the administrative jobs. And these type of general things we have suggested. Also this concept of contracting out some of the labor, either hospitals maintenance contract, clinical contract they call it, non-clinical contracts being given out for the maintenance of the hospitals and the existing staff. So those norms also we are looking at it. As you rightly said, when we contracted out, the problem of minimum wages not being paid by these contractors to the employees is a serious problem in most of the hospitals. So we need to do something that when we contract it out, though they sign the memorandum, they are not giving the minimum wages. Probably we should have dialogue with the labor department and see that these contractors are enlisted and they also form the basic minimum wages and the other facilities to be provided to the employees.
Charging fees at government hospitals seems to have become very problematic. Let's take Punjab. Since 1995, under World Bank recommendations and funding, the Punjab Health Services implemented a user fee system for their hospitals. They did this so that they may recover some costs from those who could afford to pay and use those monies both to subsidize the treatment of the poor as well as for hospital expenses. Now in theory this sounds good, but as you know, because the yellow card exemption system was not implemented at all, the poor people are today paying both a user fee for the hospitals and a bribe which they were already paying.
Karnataka is also implementing the user fee in the Karnataka Health System Development hospitals where it is happening. Primary health care we are not charging, but the secondary care and the tertiary care the user fee has been accepted and it's being implemented. But this is where I feel below poverty line should be totally exempted from user fee. How to identify those the below poverty line? If we insist on ration cards, some of the poorest may not have this ration card also, and yellow cards sometimes not distributed either. So we need to our own recommendation err on the other side. If the below poverty line is 35, give free to 50% of the people. So other 50% you can charge the user fee, but user fee again is a very nominal user fee. It's just about 1% of the total cost of the healthcare which is provided in the hospitals. Just a token nominal, but this is very useful. The positive side of user fee is, if we can have this below poverty line guaranteed, is that they have some discretionary funds available at the hospital. That has brought about some miracles, I would say, in the management of those hospitals. They have some money to buy whatever little needs they have, repairs to be done and some emergency medicines to be bought, which is very good. They have some resources. Earlier, even a 15 amps plug has to be replaced, there was a huge process. Now they can buy and do it on the same day. So this has brought in some good aspects. But user fee in terms of the, I would say it's not user fee. It's a wrong terminology in Karnataka's context. We are not collecting user fee. It's a token type of participation. I am also the Vigilance Director of Lokayukta for Health, Education and Social Welfare. When the present Lokayukta took over, and I gave him a report, and next day he called, you identified corruption as one of the major issues. So can you join me? So I have joined him, and we go around the hospitals and look at how these below poverty line are suffering, the corrupt system, how they are given prescriptions. So we are mainly looking at these issues in a public type of inquiry and making the doctors and the hospital accountable so that the below poverty line are taken care of. That's our main agenda which I am pushing through the Lokayukta.
We know that the Karnataka Lok Ayukta is suo motu visiting government hospitals to check corruption. Isn't that an indication that the complaints-driven process is not really taking off?
So the corruption is at various levels, from medical education, starting from the joining the medical college, you can buy a seat, you can buy the examiners, the corrupt examination system. You can get the question papers. That is much better with the Rajiv Gandhi University now. But Vigilant, they are also trying to bring some reforms, but still in the bivocational practicals, many people have paid, and it's still continuing. We are not sure that we have plugged that. This time Lokayukta is very proactive in the postgraduate examinations. We knew which hotels they will be staying and trying to prevent those type of corruption. So that's in the medical education. Then once you pass out, then if they go to Karnataka, we found Karnataka Medical Council to register. There he has to bribe to get it through. So we have told this to council and they have rectified it. Similarly, in the recruitment process, the Karnataka Public Service Commission or whatever through, there were problems. Now it's merit come. We have streamlined those things also and better recruitment. And transfers. the promotions. These are all the areas. Then again, there is corruption in the purchase of equipment, medicines. All this we are trying to plug. It's a very, very difficult thing, but awareness has been created now. When we go to the hospital, the Lokayukta not only looks at the below poverty line people, how they are taken care of, including the cleanliness, the mortuary. From birth to death, the hospital corruption was, if a child is born, we had to pay to the nurse and the whoever staff is there. And even to show a baby, male baby this much, female baby, you might have heard of that, 200 rupees for male, 150 rupees for female children. And then death, when they come for postmortem, they were squeezing money from them also. So Lokayukta visits the mortuary, says them, give them, all everything should be free, even the cloth which has to be tied has to be provided by the hospital. No money should be charged. So this type of reforms from birth to death in the care we are providing, and reforming the entire system is a long process, but we have initiated several measures.
Coming back to that question again, do you agree that the Karnataka Lokayukta's work will be strengthened if the public started actually filing formal corruption complaints as opposed to complaining cynically about corruption?
That's very important. Actually, if we can strengthen the hospital committees itself, and including the PHC committees, which we have suggested, like the Madhya Pradesh Devarogya Kalyan Samitis, which are proactive, mobilizing resources and also doing this type of thing, will be very useful. But community participation in all this, their awareness to complain to the Lokayukta was not there. So we have covered 15 districts by the middle of April. We'll cover all the 27 districts. Awareness has been created. Now they know they can redress their grievances to the Lokayukta, and we take action immediately and respond to their grievances.
The task force was convened in December 1999. The submission of interim recommendations was in 2000, and the final recommendations was in 2001. As the chairman of the task force, what is your feeling about the process? Are you happy?
First of all, we had a very committed team. The members of the task force, they have really given time. And it's a love of labor. We have really, some of them working honorary full-time and devoting and producing that type of report. It has been a very good experience. We had very good bureaucrats cooperated with us as a teamwork. We had good secretaries helped us. And most important, the Chief Minister also listened to whenever we made presentations, and he has acted on those things, which is very encouraging. But at the same time, the pace at which the government is implementing the health department, some of us feel frustrated coming from NGO background. It could have been much faster, but that's how we have to accept certain limitations within the government. We sometimes take proactive role in pushing this, trying to see that. But still, there are a lot of limitations in the existing system. And I feel Karnataka health system is at present running at about 25-30% efficiency. And if they can implement part of the recommendations also, we can increase it to 50. It will have tremendous impact on the health system. But how to change the mindset, the whole concept of making this, and also people, community participation, these are challenges. Probably over the next 10 years, if we invest on these things, especially community participation and empowering people for their own health, things will definitely improve.
That was Hanumappa Reddy Sudarshan, and this is Radio India Together. For more information on India Together, or to get a free copy of the transcript of this program, visit www.indiatogether.org or send an email to editors@indiatogether.org or call 550-5141 at Bangalore.